Good morning, Bridgeway, Omar. How are you doing? Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Wonderful. Good to see you here. I'm Steve Hartnett, and I had the privilege of serving as one of the associate pastors here. And I first of all want to give a shout out to our senior pastor, Dr. Anderson, for allowing me to stand here behind this sacred desk. I also want to thank our campus pastor, Pastor Dave Michener. Thank you. All right. I enjoy serving along with him, and God has really blessed this campus to have a great pastor like him. Let us pray. Father, I come to you right now, and I ask, Lord, that you speak through me and use me in this way. May you show up, God, and get the glory and hide me behind the cross. May this be a transformational moment in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And as you saw the video, God is complex, and God sometimes does not make sense. And as I prepared this message, I prepared it out of my own heart because I've also experienced when God doesn't show up. That is kind of a statement that doesn't seem to fit God, but it seems to work in our lives when we depend or wait on God. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been a time in your life when you really needed God? I heard the testimonials earlier, and God did something in your life. But I'm sure it didn't happen instantaneously. Of course, this is an oxymoron. You say God is everywhere. But where was he when I needed him the most? Where was God when your boyfriend betrayed you? Or found out that your boss gave a raise to someone else they promised you? You tried everything to break that addiction and only got worse. You felt hopeless. Your marriage is a disaster. Your son or daughter just will not do the right thing. You constantly say, please, God, help me. But I'm not feeling that God is with me. He's silent and distant. And you say to yourself, does God even care? Anybody been there? The video says always, usually, maybe, never. Well, when I took logic class in college, we were taught that it must be validated and make sense. If I said something like this in class, I would have failed the course. How can you always, or usually, or maybe, or never? It's one or the other. In other words, in human wisdom, it doesn't make sense. But in the providential sovereignty of God, it does make sense. We just don't see it. I'm not talking about people. When we talk about Mary and Martha this morning, I want you to follow me and let's go into their situation. Let's put ourselves there for a moment and let's look deeply into Mary and Martha. Remember the story of Lazarus, right? I remember that story? Okay. If you say, don't raise your hand, I'm going to preach for 2 hours. So you better raise your hand. No hands? Okay, I'm preaching 2 hours. Okay. Okay. Let's look up. I'm not talking about people who just have a head knowledge of God. I'm talking about those who really love, serve, and honor the Lord. These are friends of Jesus, the ones who said he loved them. Now, the same people whom Jesus said he loved, they were having a hard, difficult, and hopeless situation. You been there? It doesn't go from bad to worse, but from worse to impossible. Lazarus died. Jesus, where were you? Today, we're going to ponder the story of these two ladies. Want to find them in a situation where they are asked the heart-wrenching question, does Jesus really care? We may say it up here, but is it that? Does Jesus really care? Let's look at it. The puzzling question, the story pondered, and the answer to the problem. That'll be it. You say, I have been praying for a long time for God's change to come. Where's the truth in the old song that says, in the midnight hour, God's going to turn it around, turn it around, turn it. Who remembers that song now? That's my old Baptist song days, back in those days, right? Where God's going to turn it around. What happened, God? I've been turning and waiting, and you haven't turned anything around. What do you say? What is the matter? Not only God didn't turn around, but my situation got worse. I'm sure people on my street right now. Let's look at it and see when God doesn't show up. There's a problem. Take it to Jesus. In John 11, verses 1 to 3, now a man named Lazarus was sick. That's the situation. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and Martha, her sister. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured, listen now, perfume on what? On the Lord's feet and wiped his feet with her hair. That's real love, isn't it? So the sisters sent word to whom? Jesus, Lord, the one you love, get that, is sick. Wow. I know Jesus is going to show up. I ain't no doubt about it. The present situation, Lazarus sick, Mary and Martha was in trouble. Lazarus and his family were not strangers to Jesus. They were family, like family. Bible says that Jesus loved them. So what happened to these people who were not criminals or so-called bad people? There are people who was close to Jesus, had an intimate relationship with him. They worshiped him. They served him. But now, Jesus, we need you. What happened? The critical problem. Mary and Martha's brother was critically ill, so he sent a message to Jesus and said, the one you love. Have you ever talked to Jesus that way? Now, Jesus, I love you. I got saved some years ago. I've been serving you, Lord. I need you right now. I'm in the hospital. My family is falling apart. I have financial issues. I need you right now. You expect Jesus to show up, don't you? Say amen, right? We do. I do. Now, look what happened. They were sick. But what happened? Did Jesus show up right away? No. We'll find out. Notice the word. He says, I did not show up for a reason. Why? So that the Son of Man may be glorified. Wait a minute. I'm the one with the problem. And Jesus, you put an emphasis on you. I'm the one hurting. But you saying that I may be glorified. Yeah, we understand that. But I'm hurting right now, Jesus. I don't think I'm ready for that. Amen. But look at that. The word glorified in the Hebrew means to give weight to. It means to enhance the reputation of who? Jesus. Gives weight to who Jesus is and his identity. It's going to reveal the power of Jesus and give clarity to the reason he came. Whole purpose, Mary and Martha, it is about Jesus right now. That's hard to understand. Let's follow me. Problem number one. We can't see things from God's side, but he has a greater and divine purpose. Look at this monitor for a second. It's like this puzzle. If you saw a puzzle, how many put puzzles together before? Okay, some of you have, all right? I don't like puzzles anyway, but this is an illustration here. So if we look at that, and you got all these pieces on the table, and you're putting them together, you say, man, don't make sense. This piece don't look like it fit here. This doesn't fit here. And you can get frustrated. I just give up and don't do it at all because it doesn't make sense. But look at it when it's finished. See, we only see bits and pieces of the puzzle right now. We only see a piece here and my situation here and my relative here and my finances here and my hope over here and my dream shattered here. But we don't see God's total picture. So God doesn't make sense because we can't see it from his side. But listen, God has a greater plan. Secondly, here is how Jesus expressed deep concern and care for the one he loved. Here is how Jesus expressed deep concern for you and I who he loved. Here it is. He said, I will stay for 2 more days. Duh. Wait a minute, Jesus. My brother is sick. And if you come, you can heal him. You're going to stay for 2 more days? If that was 911 and I called 911 and told them that my wife was sick unto death, you say you're going to come back 2 days later, I will sue somebody. Somebody will hear my story. But let me tell you about my story. Some years ago, many years ago, in my little church, I pastored for a number of years, we had what is called was a summer camp for at-risk inner city boys and girls. And the leadership prayed for a year for this camp to take off, and we had all the money we thought in place, and we had all the volunteers in place, and we had things ready, and we had the gymnasium, the school donated that, and the school said we could use the facilities, and everything was ready to go. We had the kids, about 100 some kids showed up. And a week later, volunteers got sick. The money didn't come in. And the leadership of the church said, close this thing down. Someone called someone. Now, how would you feel right now? If God told you, you knew God wanted you to do this, and then, God, we got to show up now. The camp about to close. But guess what? God, someone told a church out in the county about our situation. They came within a week, bought volunteers, bought money, and served in that camp. So, some 70-some kids, I think, came to Christ, and others really got redirected in their lives. And that camp took off. But listen, that ain't it. We developed a relationship with that church that we went on mission trips together that our church couldn't do. We didn't have the finances, but they supported us and took us. That's not all. And they came in one summer and volunteered during their vacation time and added on to our building, no charge at all. So, all right, God didn't show up when we want him to, but he's right on time. For his divine purpose was greater than our present situation. So God does not always show up on our timetable. The old psalmist once said, he may not show up when you want him to, but he's right on time. I don't know, I can't sing. I mean, my church told me when I pastored, they gave me a contract to sign and says, one thing you must promise us, stick to preaching and stay away from singing. All right, the question, if God doesn't show up, how does he give hope to the hopeless? I need some hope, brother, sisters, when God doesn't show up. The complexity of the problem. Mary and Martha were looking for the positive. They got the negative. Jesus is not what coming. What? What an emotional, spiritual, and moral dilemma. No wonder Christians today, you and I, have been to a place where we become depressed and anxious. And we can't get along with people because God didn't fix our situation. It messes my mind up. I was taught in Sunday school, just call on Jesus and he will take care of it. Right? My problem haven't got better. So here it is, the crisis of faith. What? Not coming. You probably said in your mind, Jesus, I obeyed you. I did what you wanted me to do. You told me in your word that if I obey and walk upright, you will hear my prayers answer by and by. Divine truth. Listen, God doesn't always show up on our time schedule to fulfill our expectations. He doesn't show up to fill our little agenda requests. Let's find out what God does then. But he does give hope when he doesn't show up. Because I need something to carry me in the meantime. Divine truth, not coming, not coming. Mary and Martha said, where is Jesus? Why isn't he here? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how they really asked that question. I don't know whether he said some bad words in between there or whatever, or, you know, I don't know, or just, you know, bang the table or stomp the floor or threw a dish across the room. I don't know. The Bible don't tell us. Okay. But he said, why isn't he here? Wait a minute. Let me clean my ears. Repeat that again. Where is Jesus? Why is he not here? Knowing Jesus, he would always come. Well, maybe, perhaps, he could speak the word from where he's at, and Lazarus be healed, and we are situation be solved. Oh, God, I know you're going to do something. Because I know Jesus. They're waiting. Maybe he'll come. When God doesn't show up when we want him to, it can create in us a sense of fear and fatalism. Fear causes anxiety and stress, which leads to anger. Hello, be honest now. Physical illness, lack of sleep, inability, and a sense of hopelessness. Doubt, despair, and broken relationship. Because when God doesn't show up, it messes with our mind. Let's be honest now, right? Amen? Who's been there? Don't raise your hand. But what happened when God doesn't show up? God wants us, here's the word, to learn how to simply trust him. The old song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So I'm singing. All right. Omniscience versus our human limitations. God is all-knowing. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. We only see small bits and pieces. Here's a story. Let's look at it as we wind on down. John 11, verse 7 to 15. I'm going to read it. And then he said to the disciples, let us go back to Judea. Now, why would Jesus tuck that in the middle of this critical issue where he has Lazarus about to die, but Jesus is going to take the disciples and talk about him going back to Jerusalem? Now, here's the story. I'm going to read it first. He said, let's go back to Jerusalem. But rabbi means one who has a teacher, a leader. We have respect for you. They said, a short while ago, Jews were trying to stone you. And you want to what? Go back to Jerusalem? Jesus answered, listen, are there not 12 hours in the daylight? Anyone who walks in the daylight will not stumble, for they see this world's light. But he, when a person walks at night, that they stumble, for they have no light. You want to go back to Jerusalem? They're about to stone you. Lazarus is dying. You say, I'm not coming. God, what in the world are you talking about? And what does us going back to Jerusalem and light has to do? Because Jesus wants them to know, if you're with me, even in Jerusalem, where the stoning will take place, long as you're with the light, you are in good hands. And if Lazarus should die or if Lazarus should live, as long as you in my presence and the light, you are okay, because the light will keep your mind. The light will keep your heart. The light will give you peace. The light will give you hope, even in your situation. We have to be in his presence. He wants us connected to him, even if the situation doesn't change. I want to thank Pastor Mitch for helping me with this message. No, he did not really. He gave me one part that I'm stealing from him at the men's fellowship the other night, and it comes from Job. And he said, I was sitting there, I said, wow, that'll fit. I'm going to steal that. Here it is, Job 23, verse 8 to 10. But if, listen to carefully, I'm going to read it slow. But if I go to the east, is not there, well, but if I go to the east, is not there, you are not there. And if I go to the west, do I not find you? If I go to the east, you're not there. I go to the west, I don't find you. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. Here's the key. But he knows the way I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as pure gold. Job said, oh! I copied it. Wow! I couldn't find you in my situation. I couldn't find you in my moment of pain. I couldn't find you in my moment of anguish. I couldn't find you when that divorce took place. But oh, 5 years later, 3 months later, 6 years later, when I've been tested. Now, on the other side of it, it makes a little sense. Let's look further. Read the rest of the text here. After he has said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Now listen to how, now don't criticize the disciples. We've done the same thing. Here it is. But I'm going to wake him up. The disciple replied, Lord, if he sleep, he will get better. Jesus, you've been drinking something? Oh, no, I'm sorry. No. Jesus had been speaking of his death. Listen, but disciples thought he meant natural sleep. When we are going through, God is saying one thing and we interpret another because God is sovereign and we are at human and we have limitations. But he explained to him though. He said, no. He told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Vekros in Greek, dead, dead. Well, Jesus. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so you may believe. But let us go. Jesus said, tell you, he told me, he probably tell you, I'm glad I wasn't there. Wow. Why? Because Jesus is light. And when you are in his presence, the light will shine. Here's the problem. Omniscience saw the cross and the resurrection. Omniscience saw the dead Lazarus being resurrected. Human wisdom in their minds and the disciples, Mary and Martha, saw craziness, danger, and death. Omniscience saw Lazarus being raised, but disciples saw, and Mary and Martha saw, too late. Forget it, Jesus. Stay home. I don't know if he said that or not. The death of the situation, the death of your situation, the death of my situation. Here it is. Sometime when you feel hopeless, God will very clearly say, this is what I want to do. I want to go back to Jerusalem, and I want you to go with me. The danger is there, but I want I and you to go back with me. Some things happen when we hear this seemingly contradictory statement from God when we're going through something. Two things. I call Jesus-ism. That's not a word, but the one I'm giving you today, put it in the Webster Dictionary as a new word. You say to yourself, I know that God will make a way out of no way. My grandmother's told me that years ago. I must learn to simply trust in Jesus. Oh, God. But my mind is saying, God, I can't understand what you're doing. But verbally, I want you to hear me say this. Christianese, just trust in Jesus. Oh, I'm dying inside, bro. Oh, Pastor Mitch, I love the Lord. I'm dying inside. I want to just shake the rafters right now and run up and down the aisle and kick a hole in the wall. Or the other one is fatalism. Whatever it will be, will be. This marriage is hard and difficult. The kids are crazy. My job is horrible. My money has run out. My mortgage is upside down. But God, I know you're out there somewhere. And whatever will be, will be. Whatever will be, will be. Don't sound so spiritual, doesn't it? The answer, I am the light. Trust me. There's enough grace for today. Just take the next step. I will deliver you, not always out of your situation, but through them. Sometimes God has a bigger gift than just fixing our problems. Sometime God has a bigger gift than just snapping his fingers and causing our marriage to be fulfilled. Sometime God has a bigger plan than making the kids do right when we want them to do right, or give us a positive result on our medical scan, or take that cancer away. God sometimes have a bigger plan than taking and fixing our little problems. They hurt. Don't get me wrong. They hurt. There's some of you in this room now went through cancer and had to go through the treatment and radiation. And I take my hat off because I can't say I know, I understand how you feel, but I know that you pressed your way and we prayed for you, and you cried and you were depressed sometime. It's real. Life, amen. We're not stoics. Life is real. Amen. And the Christian life is real. Right. It's real. If you don't know, just say saved long enough, you'll find out. Jesus' gift to Mary and Martha. Here it is. John 11, verse 17 to 27. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in a tomb for 4 days. 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles. My problem, Jesus, less than 2 miles away. Where are you? My problem, you are around the block there. Where are you, Jesus? Jesus had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Lord, and if I read that in the original language, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, and he said with attitude, she said with attitude, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I don't know if that's true. I don't know what's in it. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Yeah, we know. We said, Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by me, believing in me, will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she said. Believe you are Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Guess what? There was a moment of transformation in her life. And Mary and Martha, for the first time, saw that God had a greater plan than just fixing the problem, such as healing Lazarus, because the I am would not have showed up his power if Lazarus did not die. But God had to let Lazarus die to show up, so he could show who he really is. See, you really don't know who God is, really, by coming down the aisle and giving our hearts to Christ the first day. Some years later, we're still learning God. But God allowed things in our lives so we can day by day learn who he is, because God is so infinite, we can't learn him overnight. So it takes time and a lifetime and a lifetime and a lifetime to learn who he is. And tomorrow, I know more about him than I knew last week. God is endless in knowledge. His wisdom is high. His knowledge, his power. But he wants to show us every day more about who he is. Let me ask you a question. I'm almost finished. Don't raise your hand. But I'm sure that those of you out there right now can say, those especially who've been saved for a while, I know Jesus differently today than I did when I first got saved. Because your experiences in life show us who he is. The hopelessness of people was real. They were crying and weeping. They hired mourners to come in, mourn 7 days. So it was real. Our problems are real. We cry. We hurt. God's resurrection power demonstrated. Here it is. Let's walk with Mary and Martha for a moment. They wondered what happened to Jesus. He said, I wasn't going to be there. But here is the crux of the matter. John 11, verse 25 to 27. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he die, he shall live. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe that? She said, yes. I believe when she spoke these words with the truth of Jesus, finally reached her heart. Finally, the light came on. Suddenly, there was now an emotional connection. It was no more just a head knowledge. And see, I believe today our problem is we have a lot of head knowledge about God. We know the Bible from Genesis to 2nd Revelation. We can read it forward and back. We can quote scriptures. We know the Sunday school stories. We know the right Christianese, as Pastor Mitch always say. But God don't want us just to have a head knowledge. He wants us to have a relational knowledge of him. He wants to know who he is in an intimate relationship. And this is what he wants us to do. And that's why when God doesn't show up, God wants to show up with us and walk through it. Here is God's divine purpose revealed. John 11, verse 14 and 15. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Your cancer is here. Your kids not going to get better. Your finances not going to get better. Not right now. Maybe never. But I'm glad, he said, so that you might believe. From confusion to faith. From doubt to trust. The response from Jesus was, I was glad I was not there. This doesn't sound like a person who has compassion on a hurting. The question on the floor then today is, why did he delay? From a divine perspective, the puzzle, he can see the whole thing. Here it is, John 11:25. Jesus says, I am the rest of life. The one who believes in me will not die. Even though he died, he shall live. This is not the most important pronoun. I mean, this is the most important pronoun in this verse. Did you miss it? Well, here it is. I am not just the resurrection. I am it. Jesus tell them and us, I want to do more than just fix your problem. I want to do more than only exist in your life. I want to have an abundant life, and I want you to have, I have abundant life with you. I want to live inside you. I want to have you, an intimate relationship with you. I can always fix your problem, but I want to walk with you through your problem. Death does not have the final say over our situation. I will experience the resurrection power and peace in the situation. The joy of the Lord will give me strength in it. The presence of the Lord will walk with me through it. The hope of the Lord will give me a firm foundation to stand in the midst of that unanswered prayer. The truth is that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Jesus wants us to see him as a person. He wants to see him as the I am. He wants to see his resurrection power manifested in our situation. So God will let us go through the point of pain so we can learn that he can do the impossible. God wants to do something bigger and greater in Mary and Martha's life. God wants to do something bigger and greater in your life and my life. He was going to demonstrate who he really is, the Messiah. He is unmistakably all-knowing, all-wise. He's too powerful for his plans to be thwarted, too loving to be unkind, and too wise to make a mistake. If this is not enough to calm your hearts and minds, if you say to yourself, wow, I love Jesus, but he didn't show up right away. Understand now he wants to show himself. And in my closing, I'm going to give you something that's going to blow your mind. God, the Father, had the audacity to do it to his Son. Wow. If we are not convinced, now we will after this. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. And about three in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, let me tell you, that gave me joy. I started dancing all around the room when I read that. Because if God, if the Son of God, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, always been with the Father throughout eternity, made the world and set the plans in place, made us and know everything from the beginning. If Jesus, the Son of God, had to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why didn't you show up? You're going to let me die on this cruel cross. And the Father saying to him, the greater plan is for you and me to be saved. So when God the Father didn't show up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when he was cried out in his darkest moment on that cross, he did it because the Father, of course, God, Jesus, as God can see that, but in the flesh, he had limitations like you and I. And he couldn't see that. All he saw was the bits and pieces of the puzzle. All he saw was the nails in his hands, scars on his brow, and them at the cross mocking him. But the divine side of God says he saw it. I'll stay here. Willfully hang on our cross and pay the price because the I am who I am is going to be an effect you'll hear today. The greater plan of God. Let me give you an illustration, a couple of practical illustrations. So what do you do when God doesn't show up? Here's what you do. When God... ask the question. God, why? There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not trying to be irreverent. But God, why? Many times I counsel people who are going through stuff, and one of the pastors here, and they're in the room here, in the office, whatever, and they're crying. And I can listen. Well, God, I don't know. My grandmother got cancer, and she just won't get well. And she's in so much pain. And I love Jesus, but I don't understand. Yeah. Well, ask the question. I don't say, don't do that. Just trust and obey. For there's no, no. I listen because we can ask a question. Because why? Because God says, seek wisdom. Philippians 4, 6 or 7. Said, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Present it, right? Didn't he say that? Present it. Yeah, God, I'm here, I'm hurting. And what happened? And if God doesn't give you the answer, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. My brothers and sisters, it's sometime all I can hang on to is the peace of God. I can't explain why that person had the accident. I can't explain why that child was abused. I can't explain why your son or daughter were taken at a young age. I can't explain why that cancer came back again and again. But I can tell you one thing. You can go to Jesus, and the peace of God with transcendent understanding will keep your heart and mind. See, the bottom line is God may not fix your problem, but God want to give you peace in the midst of the problem because you need something to carry you through the problem, because if you don't have something to carry you through the problem, you're going to bust wide open or fall apart or blow your mind out. But I can tell you right now, there are many of you out here right now, I've talked to them and listened to your problem. You're still here. You're still here. Someone asked me, okay, a year or so ago, why do you Christians keep on serving God when you're catching the devil? You know what I tell them? Because peace is greater than fixing my situation. The peace of God. How many can attest to that? The peace of God brought you through. You're here this morning testifying earlier because of peace of God. You're still loving Jesus because of peace of God. You're still honoring God because of peace of God. You're still worshiping God we don't see but know and believe in our heart because of the peace of God. We haven't blown our mind because of the peace of God. We haven't killed somebody because of the peace of God. We haven't killed that child who's acting crazy because of the peace of God. I haven't thrown in the towel because of the peace of God. I haven't given up my ministry over the years where I wanted to sign off and give up and say, God, these your people. Because of the peace of God. Last three. Rest in confidence. Psalm 91:1. Whoever dwells in a shelter of the Most High will rest in his shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, In God, I trust. Wow. Next one, experience peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you peace as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and be not afraid. You got all the counseling in the world, they can't give you peace like Jesus. All the drugs in the world can't give you his peace. All the funny cigarettes. Uh-oh. Don't tell me on my street. Can't give you peace. Last two. Listen to this one. Enjoy the presence. Get close unto the Lord. You know what I call the Lord? This is private. When I told my wife when I died, what this in my obituary, the lovely Lord Jesus. See, Jesus is God. How many know he's God? He's mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's all that, right? He seems to be reverenced and honored, but he's our best friend. He called us friend. Wow. So he is my best friend. Yes, I reverence him and honor him. He is my papa, my daddy. I can go to him. So here's the Psalm, the Exodus 33:14. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Get close to him. Stay under his shadow of his wing. Connect to him. Let me say this real quick, and I'm taking my seat. Don't see Jesus just as a ticket of salvation or a church thing or someone I accepted 20 years ago. He wants to get to know you. He wants you to get to know him. He wants an intimate, close relationship with you. Lastly, tell others how you overcome. Psalm 71:15 says, I will tell of your goodness all the days. I will speak of your salvation, though it's more than I can understand. Let me read it again. Repeat after me. I will tell of your goodness all the day long. I will speak of your salvation. Now here's one. Though it is more than I can understand. Trust him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. But to what? Trust and obey. Don't get it.